got my dice and I got my friends. We're going on a quiz that never ends. You know when there is trouble abound, me and my crew will always be around. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Lone Gunman, and it's time for the Gamers Haven Podcast with your hosts, Ethan, Jeremy, and Nathan.
Welcome back to the show.
Take two.
Take two with mics
on. This time.
Hey. Luckily, we only made it about 4 seconds in before I realized that. Because I was like, the thing isn't jumping. Hey.
As I looked at him like, my microphone's not on yet.
I know what you guys must be thinking. You're like listening to this show going, God, you know, this is like a relentless onslaught of episodes. I mean, it's almost as if you guys have been recording like every 2 weeks. And I'm like, well, yeah, we have been.
Kind of.
Yeah, and why is that even?
Because
there's someone here who pokes you and prods you and goes, hey, are we
you
recording?
Don't poke me. Yeah, you don't poke and prod as much as you could, I think.
But, okay, also, you know. Poke and prod you more.
Okay. It's December 14th today, and we're recording this episode, and we probably won't get a new episode recorded for another several weeks.
Because of the holidays.
2 weeks from today, we're going to be doing a special... Justice City issue
our favorite Ohioan.
Yes, our favorite Ohioan Tracy is going to be here in person, and so I'm going to run a session of the game with everyone there at the table, so it's all good.
Craziness.
I know. It's going to be awesome on several levels. But that all being said, we're here today, and we're cool, and we're awesome, and we're going to be just sort of closing out the year with a mishmash episode of what's impressed us this year, what's some great, Christmas ideas, or sorry, holiday ideas, Christmas
ideas. No, it's Christmas at this point because Hanukkah's over tomorrow.
That's true.
Hanukkah's over in 12,
that's true.
20,
I probably won't get this posted in for a couple days at least.
Well, sunset on Saturday, Hanukkah's over, so.
Yes. Hanukkah would probably be over by the time I get this posted, so we'll put it that way.
Yes.
But here we are, the four of us are sitting here and in our deep underground lair, the Christmas tree and Hanukkah bush are up. Oddly, the Hanukkah bush looks just like a Christmas tree.
Ethan, it's the same tree from the other side, dude. You can stop calling it the Hanukkah bush.
Yeah, we just put white and blue lights on one side just to screw you.
Sometimes it catches on fire but does not burn.
Sweet. How do we manage that?
Science!
Science! I like science.
Science!
Oh, man. So a pretty free-form episode today. I know you guys love those so much. We're going to have some random encounters at the end.
Costume Quest?
We'll get into that in a little
it's
bit.
It's interesting.
If you want to see I have it on my PS3.
No, I think that's random enough. What is Costume Quest?
It's an RPG where you level up and change your
costumes.
Okay.
Before we actually get into the randomness of this episode, what have we been doing in the last 2 weeks?
Figure out Costume Quest.
What have we
trying
been
trying to that?
Trying to get the second session of Circus
of Deadlands Circus, Circus of Fools going.
That did so
configuring
wrong.
And
I still need a blurb and so I can
I
make
do,
a
I do still need to
configuring and setting up an Amiga 600 that I am donating to Matt Chat. I've got most of the stuff that he wanted. I actually have duplicate copies, so I'll be sending it along with the thing. The box
what's Matt Chat.
Matt Chat is a show by Matt Barton, Dr. Matt Barton. He did that Dungeons and Desktops book that I was telling you about that I liked. Matt Chat is a show he puts on YouTube where he does either interviews with like the creators of various different games, or he does like in-depth, what do they call them, retrospectives on various games.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very big RPG type person, and he's done a lot of interesting reviews, including Pool of Radiance. And,
is he local or is he?
No, he's a St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Oh,
and
he should come to CanCon.
He should come.
I would like him to, but I don't know. I've mentioned it before, but I didn't think it was going to work. But I have an old Commodore 64 that I have a spare of, and I have a spare Amiga 600 because I have like three of them. And so he was talking about how he wished
one
he had
one for each hand.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
No, that'll work.
But he was talking about how he doesn't have a real Amiga or Commodore 64. And I was like, well, crap, I've got spares. All I need is these few little things to help go with it, and I can send it off to him. And so people graciously donated the few things that I didn't have, and then two of the items I actually made. They were just cables I needed. But people donated, like, the monitor and the power cable for the Commodore 64 that I didn't have. And so I have everything to send them. I just need to finish getting everything taken care of on the hard drive and make sure everything's configured. Cool. So as soon as that's done, I'm going to ship it, but it's going to weigh, like, 60 pounds. It's going to be like, here's your box. He's going to get it. And it's like, what do you do? Load this thing with with bricks?
Yes.
It's going to open it up.
This is the first shipment. It's just bricks.
Yeah. It'll be full of retro gaming goodness.
But bricks to build the shrine upon which
place the Amigas.
Well, no, the bricks to build the desk on which these things must sit.
Yeah.
For they are heavy.
Actually, the Amiga's not bad.
Quiet, you, they're heavy. Although, did you see the... I'll get into that later. Anyway, so you've been building old retro computers.
And a couple of... I've done a couple client consults. I mean, nothing major, but...
Excellent, yes. Well, that's real work.
Yeah.
Blah.
I wish I had more of it.
Oh.
There's that. Noah, what have you been up to?
Working. Non-stop.
Not quite non-stop. The lovely, lovely Starbucks has been incredibly busy because we've got stupid things like buy one, get one sales on holiday drinks that our district manager didn't tell us until the day before the sale started.
Nice.
Ouch.
So we're understaffed for it. That's so much fun.
In his defense, you guys were understaffed because a bunch of people are sick.
Well, no.
And there is the whole...
The thing is that the manager schedules people based on... We're allotted only so many hours a week. So we based on like what our common business is how he allots the people for the hours. But when we know that we're going to have a sale, we typically have a couple extra hours allotted to us, and then we stack people on because it gets crazy. I mean, literally all morning we had people going, is the buy one get one sale going? No, it's not till 2 p.m. Are you sure you can't give it to me? Yes, I'm sure I can't give it to you because it's something the computer does automatically if you buy the right drinks.
That's a great excuse. The computer does it all.
It's true. It's the computer mm-hmm. is what determines. Like,
it's beautiful. It's like, I can't. Computer does it automatically.
Yeah, it's like
burn.
You know, one of those things that when patches would come out or updates would come out for software that we had to roll out at various different clients, we'd have complaints like, well, why haven't you rolled out this patch yet? It fixes everything. We have to test it to make sure it doesn't break the entire system.
Yes, they just upgraded us to 2010 Office at work. And
I am so sorry.
I was their test run because mine stopped working, and they took them 2 days, and I couldn't work for about 7 hours.
Yeah, 2010?
Because they fixed it, and it broke something else. They had fixed that broke something else. Something's still broken on my computer, but
yeah,
it is working.
While 2010 has a great interface, actually, it actually makes the ribbon interface useful.
Well, we have several different things that have to work together.
The problem is any sort of add-ons or add-ins have serious problems with some of the new functions that are in 2010. So
yeah.
I would have recommended they not move.
Jeremy, what have you been up to?
Working a lot.
What about gaming?
You like gaming.
I haven't really been doing much beyond what we've been doing.
Noah's been playing the crap out of his Hanukkah gift.
That is true. I got Assassin's Creed 3 for Hanukkah.
Sweet.
Oh, so good.
I've been playing mostly WoW.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
the games I have been playing have been Guild Wars 2, which absorbed my life.
Computer game, computer wise, yes, I did get absorbed into Civ 5 for quite a while.
Yeah, so. I have been playing.
Yeah,
Civ.
I played through a single player game of that for a total of like 18 hours or something like
did
that.
Did you nuke anybody?
Oh God, yes! I took over everybody.
I love the effect for the nuclear bombs in that one. You get the warning the air raid sirens mm-hmm.
well,
going
they
off.
Did that back in Civ 2.
Yeah,
I remember in Civ 2, if you used them too often, the sea level would rise if you used them too often.
Allies, your allied, cities
Oh, you're talking about like the city states.
What allies?
They don't really like it when you drop a bomb on an annoying city
too close,
and some of their troops get vaporized.
they get kind of wussy about that,
them money, and they stop complaining.
Money cures everything. That's what they're trying to say.
That's sort of what ended up in my game. Well, first of all, one of my city states was invaded by Japan, and so I crushed them entirely. It took me like 40 turns, but I destroyed everything.
Yeah, Japan's tough to fight.
No, they're not. Not in my game. They had, like, nothing.
Oh, what level of difficulty were you playing on?
Not the easiest, but the second easiest.
Chieftain.
And so I went in and crushed them with my blue heel.
On Prince, they'll outnumber you about 6-1. They rapidly
I don't play on that. I don't play that hard.
I usually don't play that hard unless I'm playing with Ted.
I like winning. And so I did that, and then Alexander denounced me, so I decided to go ahead and cross the ocean and destroy him. And then it was just me and the King of Siam, and he was very nice, but I decided to take over his territory anyway.
Because I accidentally nuked this one city, the one city-state troops, this one random city-state...
Declared war on you.
They declared permanent war on me. And so I have all these city-states around me that love me.
Uh-huh.
This one that got pissed because I nuked, you know, how many people are in a unit? 200-300? So I nuked 600 people. Sorry. My bad.
My finger slipped.
Plus enemy city.
I do have to say, it is very amusing
permanent war to
have helicopter gunships going up against mounted knights.
I know. Or dropping nukes, airplanes. Well,
it's like, okay, the Japanese knights are... Anyway. Then I got rocket batteries. Was like, huh.
Or subs. Subs floating
subs
around.
Fun,
and there's these
like,
little,
oh, look, a frigate.
Yeah, these little sailboats floating above. And you're like... What?
Exactly. So yeah, Civ 5. Awesome, fun game.
Yes.
Get it on Steam when it's on sale.
Yeah.
Or not. I want to get the gods, the gods
and
keys
expansion. I'm sure it'll be on sale this holiday on the holiday Steam sale.
I'm waiting for the Steam holiday sale
to hit.
Yeah, I'm
surprised it hasn't gone on yet. I mean, they haven't even really said anything about
it
yet.
Here's the thing. They did a Thanksgiving sale this year, which I don't remember they're doing.
They did. They've done it in the past, but they didn't do it last year.
See, now I put it on random, so I was King Ahsoka of the Africans.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just destroyed everything.
What am I?
He gets big bonuses from wiping out
cities. Yes, yeah. Huh? Raising cities.
You're Jeremy.
Well, yeah,
Bismarck.
Yes, I checked.
Just making sure.
I could have been replaced. We did have a fire drill today, and somebody did ask if we survived or if we all died.
Did you say you all died?
Well, lovely. We're still checking.
Oh, okay.
You find that one lone.
We obviously want to get into some talking here, so we'll be back right after this.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. With a huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
We are back.
Yay,
welcome back to the crazy randomness that is this episode. And happy Christmas, Merry New Year, all that good stuff.
Huzzah.
Merry New Year.
How British of you. Happy Christmas.
So this is sort of our year in review / Christmas style stuff. We're eating Hanukkah gelt and popcorn and having a good time.
Yeah, sadly, we don't have any more latkes.
No, the latkes
were
quite
tasty. We ate them
up
like candy.
I know, and you were afraid we wouldn't like them.
Not really. I cook. People eat.
It's
great chicken. Kid. Don't get cocky.
I love those.
The fried chicken.
Yeah, you
was
had
awesome.
Some, right?
No.
You didn't get any latkes?
He wasn't here.
Oh, geez. Someone needs to go out and get me potatoes. I'll make them for. Oh, actually, you know what? I can make them for a game tomorrow.
Yeah, make them for game tomorrow.
I'll make them for game.
I love
them. Will you get me some potatoes?
I'll see if we have potatoes. We might have potatoes.
So, latkes. Anyway,
yeah,
yes.
Latkes. Latkes are delicious.
Latkes are delicious.
Latkes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Say hi to our listeners. Tell them Merry Christmas and Happy Kwanzaa
happy
or something.
Happy Christmas, Hanza Kwanzaa Pio.
I don't think that's that a real
it's all them rolling
celebration.
Together. It's one mega celebration.
I think you're making that up.
All right. Yeah.
Happy major dominant religion accepted pagan day. How about that?
Excellent. Sounds good. What's come out this year, guys? What have we been thankful for? What's caught our attention this year? Yeah, what's caught our attention this year?
Obviously, the thing we can't talk about is the playtesting of Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, we can talk about it coming out.
We can talk about that it's come out and some of us have playtested it. And that's about it.
I will say that the one thing that has in the board game world that really caught my eye was what Nathan picked up and reviewed recently, which was the X-Wing miniatures. And I was over at Tabletop, and they were doing a preview event for the next set.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. The new ships look awesome. The new Millennium Falcon is this big. It is literally, it is all to scale.
It's like 3 inches round.
It's like 3 inches around. Yeah. And the two new jumbo ships that they're putting out are the Millennium Falcon and
Slave One.
And
so you know
One.
The X-Wings are about yay big, right?
They're about.
If they're gonna put out a Star Destroyer, it's gonna be like this big.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They have plans for one too.
That'd be
pretty sweet.
Yeah. The Millennium Falcon is running for about $30.
Yeah, it's $29.99.
Yeah. Star Destroyer is going to be ridiculous.
Oh yeah, it's going to be like $120 or something or more.
But
I will say the level of detail on
it's very good.
What's really cool is that the way they have it packaged, you can actually look at the front and the top and the bottom of it while it's still in the package. So I walked around the case he had it in and was looking at it.
Nice.
The detail level is incredible.
Also,
they're really
on top of the two jumbo ships they're releasing, they're also releasing two additional fighters for the Empire side. They're releasing the TIE Interceptor,
and
for the Rebellion side, it's the A-Wing.
A-Wing.
And the A-Wing is like my favorite ship, even though it is the weakest, most pathetic.
It is not
ship.
It's an interceptor.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. It's an interceptor. It's extremely fast, but every other aspect of it's very poor. Weak holes, weak shields, and weak weapons. Because it's not designed to stick around and fight. You get in, they're usually used in scouting.
You pew pew and run.
Yeah. They're usually scouting ships. And the TIE Interceptor was actually designed as a response to it, from what I remember.
Actually, I think it was the other way around. But
was it?
Yeah.
One or the other?
The Interceptor was designed as a response to the X-Wing. Which was the, and the A-Wing was
designed
as a
response to the
TIE
Interceptor.
Yay for canon and completion that doesn't really matter. Yeah.
But, the A-Wing was my favorite ship. I even have a Lego A-Wing.
He does. It's pretty funny. So X-Wing was worth looking at. Coming out next year and
beyond.
And beyond.
Lego Hobbit stuff.
Lego Hobbit stuff?
Lego, not only Lego Hobbit stuff GW. But Games Workshop released
Although their Hobbit stuff is massively expensive. Well, GW stuff is expensive to begin with.
GW stuff is expensive, but because of the licensing fees, Games Workshop Hobbit minis are really expensive. The three trolls are $90.
I'd rather have the latest.
One thing I'm looking forward to next year is Fantasy Flight's putting out Talisman the City. They're putting out the city expansion, so it's another board expansion, which I'm an expansion behind. I don't have the Blood Moon.
The Blood Moon? Neither do we. Oh, no.
I know what we're
going to be spending some of Becca's Christmas money on.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other thing I was? Deadlands Noir. They're releasing the PDF fairly soon for the full PDF version is going out
for the general public.
For the general public, they are releasing the PDF soon, and March the books are going into print sometime in February for a March release date. I know that. So that's exciting.
$85 is how much the trolls are. I'm sorry.
Trolls are $85. Was it for all three or each?
It's all three of them.
Yeah,
it's
$85.
Contains 44 components and 360mm round bases to make three stone trolls. The escape from Goblin Town, which is like remember the Goblin Town part where they ended up the tree? Yeah. I don't know how many pieces are in it, but the box set for that is $125.
Yeah. I just like the Lego Hobbit.
Yeah.
Okay.
56 miniatures.
This I spotted. I wanted to read, because I like Talisman. Talisman. Talisman Prologue. Nomad Games has created Talisman Prologue, bringing the fun of a classic board game and more to your PC or mobile device.
Oh, yes. I heard about this.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. You'll be able to play some Talisman Prologue, some of the Talisman board game on online.
Well, there is.
It's going to be come out through Steam Greenlight.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Let me check that out.
Yeah. Hang
on. Well, there is a.
Yes,
old,
I already saw
the
that.
The old Talisman board game is already online,
yeah.
And I know you can play it.
Yes, and the Blood Moon is the last expansion that's come out and I don't have that one yet.
Yeah, I don't have that one either. Although
the city
like
comes out
it.
Next year, and hey, we get that. Plus, also that just came out was Flux for your mobile device.
Yes, I did
Sweet.
See that, which I
guess $3.
Talisman Prologue.
That's not bad.
Cool.
Holy no crap, stuff has really gone up on
no, wait,
Games
Talisman,
Workshop.
Talisman, who was that Talisman? Fantasy Flight, right?
Fantasy Flight, it's a license from Games
GW.
Workshop.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
It's a license from GW. And that's not GW Bush.
I'm trying to think what else.
He likes just licensing random
things. There's a
things.
Bunch of... I mean, there's a lot of stuff that... There's a decent amount of stuff that's come out this year.
Oh, yeah. If you're fans
I know,
of...
But,
of
you know, you
got
to understand
Workshop,
that my big thing this year was getting my butt here, and you guys all know that. But
mm-hmm. There's a new Empire Army box set.
Is there?
Yeah, $240.
Yeah, their prices are just so crazy anymore.
Well, especially since they've moved to mostly plastic. That's what
Carl
makes it
Carl Franz
crazy.
On Deathclaw, Captain of the Empire with... Captain of the Empire with Army Battle Standard, one Captain of the Empire on foot, one Celestial Hurricanum, 12 Reichsguards Knights, 20 Swordsmen, 10 Handgunners, 10 Greatswords, one Hellstorm Rocket Battery, and one Master Engineer. 58 models, and, you know, three really big ones, or two really big, yeah, three really big ones. But $240 is... That's,
expensive?
That's
By the
expensive.
Way, Talisman Prologue is currently available on the PC.
Is it? That's
Go to talisman-game.com. You can actually download a demo.
But the new Empire book is out, which is supposed to make
it's not
the
available
Empire much more
on like mobile devices yet.
Level.
Let's.
But the new prices for the books that I was having a hard time buying them when they were $38 for the hardbounds. Now they're $45.
Which ones?
For the Warhammer books for the armies.
Oh yeah.
That, it was
well,
hard enough when they were 38.
Yeah, they moved to
they,
hardback.
Yeah, they're all hardback.
So, yeah.
They were 38, but now they're 45.
They don't need to be hardbound.
Well, it helps them stay together, because let's face it, all of my softbound books have all started falling apart.
Mute!
It won't mute. Mute, Debbie, mute. I have no idea what it's playing.
What are you doing?
I don't know. It's broken.
Close your computer, Tom.
Everybody dance.
And we are dancing on the podcast. In,
oh, no, you know
what
it is? I'm sorry, it's Talisman
Rated.
Prologue that's... Shut
up. Muted.
Shut up.
Talisman
sorry about
Prologue.
That. Yeah, so if you like the music, the Talisman Prologue. Oops.
Yeah.
Although that's annoying. I hate websites that just randomly play music like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually the website. I was looking at it on Steam Greenlight.
Shut up.
It's just kind of scary how expensive things have gotten. I understand that their costs have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I would love to actually have some of the new Games Workshop figures for like my armies, because they're finally bringing out new Bretonnian troops, like actual new updated models, which look really good. And I can't afford them, because it's like, oh, look, new Pegasus Knights. $55 for a box of three.
Stupid expensive.
Yeah.
Which just proves that you need to be a freaking like millionaire and able to play a lot of games.
No, you don't have to be a millionaire.
Know,
you have
I
to
know.
Be very devoted.
Well, I know. When I was living in Jersey, I one time asked one of the regular miniatures guys how much money he'd put into 40K,
mm-hmm.
and he told me he dropped probably $100,000 on 40K alone. And I'm
holy
like,
cow!
Yeah, or maybe it was yeah.
Well, people 40K used
40K and fantasy, but
yeah,
I was like, dude, how do you like justify that? He goes, well, I'm not married. Well, I'm divorced. I'm like. Well,
obviously now.
That'll do it. Well, apparently he didn't start spending that much money until he had been divorced.
See, what's interesting is a lot of the units are still the same price that they've been for the last several years, $35 for a box.
It's the box sets that get more expensive.
It's the box sets mm-hmm. are just horribly expensive, and they used to be, you know, you got them at a discount,
which,
but now...
Which, as much as we whine about it, I will say, That doesn't mean we don't love the game.
Oh, no, God, we love the game.
It's a fun game. It's
I love playing the game. I suck at it, but I love playing it. But I just, they're so expensive.
What else are we excited for, Ethan? Are we allowed to talk about some of the stuff that's going on for the CantCon stuff that we've been learning recently? Or
oh yeah, we can talk about that. I mean, none of it's set entirely
in
stone.
Not set entirely
in
stone, but we are probably going to be having a Magic tournament this year.
Yeah,
which I'm actually very excited for.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, that's a huge thing. CantCon this year, and you know what's happening next year. Obviously, next year's a venue change, and all that comes with that. So
yeah, good and bad. I am very excited about the new venue because they're really, really nice, and they're as much as it sucks that we're losing our personal concessions, they're making some real, real good considerations for us
in
terms
of
it's official.
So when are you getting
it? Official license.
What is it?
When it's not $1,500.
What?
What is it?
Is that the full computer?
Well, that's for the whole computer. Not just
no.
What are we talking about?
For like a couple hundred.
There's
bucks.
The official licensed TARDIS computer case tower.
Oh my God!
It's not available in the U.S. yet.
The case itself, just the case, is $1,500.
No, you get a whole computer.
Oh, okay. $1,500 for computers.
Yeah.
For a pre-built, it's not bad.
Yeah, systems are fully configurable, but the base starts at 936 pounds for a Pentium.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's a Pentium G820.
But yeah, CantCon's going to have a lot of cool stuff. I think next year we are on the verge of sealing a deal for a Magic tournament.
We are on the verge of sealing a deal for a Magic tournament. We are going to be doing a whole bunch of high-end games. I know that we've been discussing that. We are looking at charity games this year. I think our two charities that we're looking at are definitely the Kevin Rowan Fund and...
Gamers Unite.
Gamers Who Care.
Thank you, Gamers Who Care. Thank you, Beth. That's what I was looking for.
Let's go shopping.
So we got that coming. Let's see. I know the two games I'm running this year are going to be, the Savage Disney Afternoon. And what's the other game? Oh, Ghostbuster Cthulhu.
Well, we're going to have some buy-in games that you can get in on through the Kickstarter, and then there are going to be ones at the door that you can get
My buy-in.
And then the charity ones.
I will be running another full props paranoia game for a buy-in. I know. What other buying games have we confirmed? Can we announce any of those yet?
Not quite yet. No, yeah. I'm still needing volunteers to run custom game sessions for VIPs.
And if you are a listener and are coming to CantCon, feel free to let us know you want to run something. We love.
I was under the impression that
where'd your heart?
The Earth was flat.
No, the Earth is not flat. The Earth is round.
Pyro Squared.
No,
there is a group.
I was under the impression that one of the high end tiers this year was going to be forcing me to dress up as Zap Brannigan.
Forcing? You volunteered for it.
Well, I did volunteer for it, but no, the buying the tier would then require me to dress up as Zap Brannigan.
I don't know if we confirmed that or not.
We didn't confirm that. We might do stuff like that for crazy stretch rewards, beyond that,
Let's see, what other...
Because who wouldn't want to see me dressed up as Zap Brannigan?
Me.
Oh, ye of little faith. Would you like some champagne?
Can we pay not to have you?
Yes. There you go.
Gets CantCon more money to pay bills, I'm fine. Whatever.
Yes. What we'll do is it'll be this. What it'll be is this. If our stretch goal will be, if you guys get to this much money, I won't dress up as Zap Brannigan.
Got it.
That way you won't have to see me walking around going, Kiff, clear my schedule.
I just really don't want to see you in like the little short shorts. I mean,
I'd have to wear something on underneath just for the fact that we are a family-friendly con.
Yes.
Which we need to keep reminding ourselves.
We are a family-friendly con.
Yeah.
So what else are we looking at, guys? I mean, well, we got the, you know, we're all going goo-goo over the since we're all classic gaming nerds, we like our
GOG.com sales, and they've got like 50% off just
about everything. Every classic role-playing game that is worth every penny is on here. All the Might and Magics are on sale. Neverwinter Nights.
Actually, the two games that are not on sale that I'm a little
mad about.
Baldur's Gate 2 are not on sale.
Not on sale anymore.
They're not expensive, though.
They're the rest of the
they're $5 or $10.
$10.
They're $10, but
now remember this you have daily sales.
No, I understand that, but everything that goes into daily sale, the daily sales usually hit 75%, and the regular ones usually
not necessarily. 50%. A lot of them have been 50% off.
Oh, okay. Maybe the
daily sales go anywhere from 50 to 65% off, with like three or four that are 75% off, and they have what's called the daily packs, and the daily packs are 75% off. So you get things like the one that's right now, which will be gone by the time this is posted, the Pick and Mix, which has Legend of Grimrock, Inquisitor, Torchlight, Geneforge 1-5, and The Real Texas for $3.74 a piece.
Yes.
If this was being posted live, I would urge every one of you to go out and pick that up.
Well, Ethan's been good about getting them out with him. 2 days or so.
It's only lasting for another 12 hours. 11 hours and 30 minutes.
Wait, that sales over?
This offer expires in 11 hours and 30 minutes.
These are daily
deals.
Yeah.
But Legend of Grimrock alone is worth the price of the entire pack.
Yeah, if you're an
which is like $17.
Legend of Grimrock's one of those games that if you can't get a gaming group together and you really need a good dungeon crawl,
go play
Legend of Grimrock. Yeah,
it is an homage to an old game called Dungeon Master, which I talked about the sequel, Dungeon Master 2, Return to Skulldeep, a long time ago, and how impossible it was for me to figure it out because I just got stomped. This game's not that brutal, but it's thunder.
That would be thunder.
It's raining outside.
There was this thing called water. It sometimes falls from the sky here. It hasn't happened in a while. Well, so
yeah, it hasn't happened.
Some people, I'm sure, are out there panicking now.
See, I'm sorry. It's December. I'm not used to Decembers where there's rain instead of snow.
Neither are we.
Yeah, actually. Neither are we. It'll
just be a second. It's just going to be a second winter like that.
But heck, Arcanum is $3. Arcanum of Steamwork and Magic. Magic Obscura. Sorry. For those of you out there that have never heard of this game, you owe it to yourself if you're a role-playing game fan to try it. At $3, what's the worst that could happen? You're going to run into a buggy game. It's buggy. But it is the coolest mix of technology and magic, like fantasy magic, I've ever seen in the game.
Play an ogre guy. He wears a suit.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's funny. And the... Okay, the brothel is hilarious. There's a sheep in one of the rooms.
I know.
Whoa.
And you can actually, if you really are disgusting, you can be like, I want to spend the night with the sheep. And they're like, really? Really?
Did you tell them what it does when as the screen fades out when you go into the sheep room?
No,
it goes,
I don't remember because I never.
Does like those really high pitched panicked bah.
I never spent the night with the sheep because I was like, it's a sheep.
I never did, but I watched a video online where someone did. I was like, oh my god.
Good cover.
I was like, no,
I have never made it to the brothel.
Also,
the game always crashed. It had this game killing.
Spending money at the brothel was way much of a waste because there was
so much stuff you had
to spend
buy.
Money on. It was a fun game. It was too buggy, and I didn't get very far.
The whole Ultima series is on sale.
Yeah,
some of the Ultima series is not good.
Let's see, what else?
Some of the Ultima series.
I'm sorry, 7, 8, and 9 were not very good. Serpent Isle was kind of a pain in the butt, but I loved Ascension when it came out, but I went back and tried to play it recently, and oh my god. I must have had the patience of like a stone.
I seriously believe, and just on a side note, that a lot of these games, especially now, are just really good ways to keep your technical side of role-playing games going if you can't get to a game.
Yeah, that's true.
I still really wish we would see the old SSI gold box games on here. I don't care how it happens. I don't care how much money it costs. If they did an SSI gold box bundle, which would have the Pools of Radiance series, the Eye of Beholder series, the Legends of Mithrenor, the Gateways, the Savage Frontier series, Hillsfar, Heroes of the Lance. If they had all those in a box, I would so pay for that. I have most of them sitting on the shelf, and 5 1/4 inch floppies in the original boxes. Some of them even sealed, but the idea of having them to
where I can play. I gotta wonder what the licensing situation is on this with what happened with SSI and everything. So.
SSI was purchased by another company, and that company went out of business, and then they were purchased by another company, and I don't know.
I'm sure it's a copyright nightmare situation where they probably have people who are willing to do it. It's just they have to track down who owns the copyrights to it at this point. And then there's the licensing situation, because if they own the copyright to it, then there's the licensing for AD&D, and they have to go through WOTC, and it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Man Alive, it would be awesome to get those.
Speaking of copyrights, there's an interesting thing, and I don't know if we've touched on this yet. I don't remember if we did. Are you guys aware that there's now a new TSR Games?
Yes.
And they're going to do a magazine.
They're going to be doing a magazine. It is Jason Elliott.
Yeah, that happened this year.
Yeah. Jason Elliott, Luke Gygax, and E. Gary Gygax Jr. Formed this company. It includes Phil Foglio and Tim Kask are both contributors to it. It is not really connected with the old TSR. Yet, I mean, let's be honest.
It's just the name.
It is the name for now, but let's see what happens.
I always thought what TSR
it's gonna have majority ownership by Jason Elliott and with participation by Luke Gygax and E. Gary Gygax Jr. The first announced publication of new TSR will be a general interest tabletop gaming magazine to be published quarterly beginning in December 2012. Although the new TSR is unconnected in any way with prior incarnations of the company, it does include several former employees and contributors, notably Tim Kask and Phil Foglio.
I am interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, I always loved what TSR stood for, Tactical Studies Rules. Huh. I just always thought that was just such a cool idea for a name.
Well, it's supposed to, you know.
And it's gonna be called Gygax Magazine.
Gygax Magazine. Yeah. Well, I'm just very interested to see, because you don't name a company something games without the intention of publishing games. That just seems
maybe. Okay. I mean, it's a magazine for gamers.
I understand that, but
Ubisoft actually owns Strategic Simulations. They've owned them since 2001. They retired the brand name, but they still retain all the rights to all the product. So if they can get the licensing done,
I'm sure it's that way.
At this point, it's a roadblock.
It's probably a situation where who puts out D&D games now?
Atari.
Mm-hmm. Atari probably has some sort of no compete license thing where they can't license it to someone else, or it's a big money thing and it's just a pain.
Well, basically, what it would probably be is that
Atari has been doing such a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have, for the most part.
Well, it's probably one of those situations where WOTC is probably waiting for that license to expire so they can go somewhere else.
I love that.
But it's just a matter
of... I don't know how that perpetuating license works, though.
Though WOTC hasn't been very good on the whole electronic game.
I'm sorry.
No.
There is still another... There is a game in the works on the way out. There's Neverwinter.
Yeah, we'll see how that...
Didn't they announce that 2 years ago, though?
It may have been.
It's been a while.
It's been.
There's the whole thing about this year Disney, and they bought Star Wars as well.
They bought Lucasfilm.
Lucasfilms.
They bought all of Lucasfilms.
And there's also talks that they might buy Hasbro. What has happened with that, no one really knows as of yet.
Really? I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah,
All right, so let's take a side note for a second.
Actually, interestingly enough, it looks like Hasbro reclaimed the Dungeons & Dragons rights from Atari in 2011, August 15th.
So that's just...
Neverwinter is coming out. It's an MMO.
Yeah, it's a free-to-play MMO.
From Cryptic Studios.
Yes, and honestly, I like Cryptic. Cryptic
if it's more like the original Neverwinter... Which I don't know if many of you guys remember that, but the original Neverwinter was released on AOL, and it was done in the old gold box style graphics.
Well, it's not going to be the old gold box style.
I know, but if it's more like the original Neverwinter, which was very tactical and very turn based, I would be fine with a free to play MMO like that.
It's not.
That's a bummer.
And if you want to check it out, nw.perfectworld.com. Can we just touch on something for a minute that a lot of people aren't paying attention to? Indiana Jones. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's touch on this for a second.
Sure.
Indiana Jones is owned by LucasArts or Lucasfilm.
Not anymore.
Well, no, they're still owned by Lucasfilm. Lucasfilm is now owned by Disney.
Right.
But it's owned by it's Lucas or Indiana Jones is now a product of Disney.
That's right. Which I
still
have hope for.
They're still working on the script for the fifth one.
There's a lot of hope because of Disney.
Oh no, and this is the funny thing.
Well, no one's been talking about it.
Yeah, no, nobody has been talking about it because everybody's so focused on Star Wars.
Right.
Well,
which it's got its writer, and I'm excited.
Who's the writer?
The guy who wrote Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Oh, that's right.
No, am I wrong?
Lawrence Kasdan.
They've contracted them to write possible spin-off movies for later, but not the next
which
one.
Which I would love if they did different movies for Star Wars. Different characters, different everything. I want different things for the Star Wars.
They got Michael Arndt, A-R-N-D-T, to write Star Wars 7. And he actually won an Academy Award for writing Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, that's right. But you know what? I'm still okay with that because he's done some good movies.
So he's done a lot of good stuff.
Kind of wish it was Lawrence Kasdan though.
No, they are working with Kasdan to do different things.
Right. Now I'd be curious to see what he would do with Star Wars Episode 7.
We'll see what happens because they could.
And I'm interested to see what happens then with the Fantasy Flight Star Wars thing because that's actually going to keep going.
That's another thing that's out
is it's the beta or something like that. It's not the finished game,
which I find very interesting because they're still charging something like $35
$39.95.
Wow, that's Fantasy Flight for you.
Fantasy Flight,
yes, it is.
Fantasy Flight makes great products. They're gorgeous products.
It's the man alive, Star Wars Edge of the Empire beta,
which is. The interesting thing about that, well, I have a lot of hope for it because a very good friend of ours worked on it.
Do you want to know what else Lawrence Kasdan wrote?
Hang on. Sterling Hershey did work on the new...
Mm-hmm. Did he?
Yes, he did.
Why don't you check it out?
Yep.
And so I'm very excited about
that. The beta retails for 30.
For 30. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys know what else Lawrence Kasdan helped write? What
was that?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's right. I forgot about that. So, yeah, Lawrence Kasdan has some...
The most awesomest of awesome pulp type movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, no, they're as far as I know, the script is progressing on the new Indiana Jones movie already. Yeah. I don't know when principal photography is supposed to be done, but as far as I know, Steven Spielberg and George Lucas are still attached to it as producers or directors.
Yeah,
I don't see why
they wouldn't be.
My thing that I've always thought was a little irritating was people... like bitched and complained and whined and cried about the whole fridge scene and
like it's
Crystal
a hero. It's a movie.
Yeah, but no. Here's the thing.
Fans bitch about everything.
Here's the thing about it though. Scientific studies have shown that if he crawled into a space that was as tightly compacted as he would have been in that space, and it was lead lined like it said it was. There was a 50-50 chance he would have walked away from it.
He's Indiana
50-50
Jones.
Chance is better than zero.
And he's Indiana Jones, so his luck score is off
the
charts.
In addition, if I'm hoping that if Disney buys Watsy or Hasbro, that this is also a good thing because
what you're saying is we might get a LucasArts made D&D
movie.
We could get a
fun D&D movie that doesn't suck.
can I go on the record and say I actually enjoyed the original D&D movie?
I did too. I was a kid
when it came out, but that was fun.
I took everybody to it.
Before the weight of the world crushed your spirit. We're not children, and that movie is awful.
But if
I enjoyed that movie.
Did one.
I took all my friends to see that movie. I paid for them to go see it.
I almost got into a car accident seeing that movie.
Think about Dragonlance done by Disney.
Well, you know they did the Dragonlance animated.
I know.
I don't know how it was.
Oh,
was it
my
terrible?
God. How about a real Dragonlance movie?
How about a Pixar Dragonlance? Would Pixar Dragonlance work?
I would be fine as long as it had a story.
They didn't follow the books at all.
Really?
It was like, and here they are. And now it's halfway through the first book. And they're 5 minutes in. What? And oh, now we're back to like two chapters. So, it's like, wait a minute, what the hell is going on here?
I just haven't seen anything else since they mentioned it, and I hope that it's true.
Is terrible.
Because I think really Disney doesn't seem to care about the little, like, they don't seem to get in the way.
No, so, Disney is very, very good with the companies it owns.
I mean, yeah, I think it'd be good for WotC and Hasbro.
As long as they told Wizards of the Coast they don't have to report to Hasbro as their main.
And also the marketing, that opens up so much marketing.
Oh yeah, and so, see the thing is unlike back 30 years ago when D&D wasn't.
Yeah, D&D is not evil anymore.
No, D&D is not viewed
another
as
thing.
Well. Yeah.
Well, for the most part.
That's still under debate because I still have gotten the, oh my god, you need to go to hell.
Compared to what it used
to
be.
You need to go to church.
Yeah.
And
those, oh, I get that anyway. I'm Jewish.
Those people, though, are becoming less and less.
That's true.
Let's put it that way. Gaming is not as, like,
it's not as much of a social stigma as it used to be.
It's a different type of stigma.
Yeah.
All right, so...
So but, now it's no longer. Oh my God, you worship Satan. It's oh my God, you live in the basement with your parents.
It's more of like a treatable, sexually transmitted disease instead of a fatal. You know,
like a. I'm not gonna say.
No.
I could. So
that's not what I was going to say.
It's not an incurable malignant disease anymore.
So speaking of Star Wars and the Star Wars Fantasy Flight RPG, they're also putting out a beginner box set, a beginner game box set, which, being Fantasy Flight, has
minis,
custom dice.
It's what they do. Oh, take
seriously?
A look. It's right. It's right here. Custom dice.
Star Wars games uses its own dice.
I'm sorry, but
no.
Can I? No. Before
it is Fantasy Flight doing what they do,
and that's fine.
And it's a way they make a heck of a lot of money because there are specific dice that you only can get from them.
Uh-huh.
And so they make more money.
Here's the thing: I don't know if the box set. I don't know if you're going to need this Fantasy Flight special dice for the regular game because they've got the beginner box and then they have the core rulebook, which they say are two separate things, and the core rulebook has a lot more options and a little bit deeper. Here's the thing though. I just right off the website, I just have to quote this to you guys and get your reaction on this. Custom dice ensure engaging storytelling. Doesn't this kind of fly in the face of
everything? No, it doesn't.
What the hell do dice have to do?
If you get custom dice at CanCon every year, does that give you engaging storytelling?
Not if you're specifically playing in my games.
I like Fantasy Flight, but if you give me a marker and blank dice, I'll give you custom dice. They'll be crap, but I'll give you custom dice, and I can sell them for nothing, but I can try to put, I'll put $25 on them. I'll be like, look, custom dice.
That's
one of a kind.
They're one of a kind. It makes engaging storytelling. It's going to add to your storytelling.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'll read this right off the site. Custom dice ensure engaging storytelling. The unique custom dice mechanic means that symbols for success, failure, and complications are all printed directly on the dice. Even a successful roll can place you under a threat, and even a failure can create some advantage.
So in other words, these dice are for people who are too stupid to count.
This system,
pretty much.
This system takes all narrative conditions into account, letting players and game masters quickly build a dice pool for each task, where other RPGs' dice systems determine success or failure as a binary state. Edge of the Empire's custom dice allow for a rich tapestry of narrative possibilities. For example, you might succeed in wrestling a Gamorrean to the ground as you planned, but in doing so, your blaster might fall from his holster and slide just out of reach. On the other hand, you might utterly fail in your attempts to lie to an Imperial Customs officer, but in doing so, discover that he's open to bribery. The ever-present potential for success with complications or failure with advantages adds a host of narrative possibilities. I'm sorry, it's called being a good GM.
Do the dice talk to you? Do the dice?
Honestly, these are actually, I think, just not to knock anything. Have you guys seen the Warhammer Fantasy dice?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure this is pretty much the same system.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. They did the same thing when they did their edition of Warhammer Fantasy RPG. Mm-hmm. They put out a box set with their own custom dice. It's something that they do.
Are they releasing a 40K system too?
It's out. I mean, they've got it, but it doesn't have custom dice though.
Yeah, the 40K
it's actually just a regular game.
The 40K systems are a little different.
because they have different... They have the 40K role-playing system, which is consistent across all their books, but they have different versions you can play. They've got Black Crusade, which is... You're playing as no, you're playing no. Not Black Crusade is chaos.
Oh,
you play really? As chaos. Hang on, let me pull these up. Black Crusade, you play as chaos. Dark Heresy, you play as what do you call the Inquisitors?
Yeah.
You have Death Watch, which is a Death Knights,
Space Marines
game. They're releasing.
See,
only oh, they have Rogue Trader where you're playing basically a pirate, which goes back to the original game,
which actually had a really cool cover, by the way, because they almost won they were nominated for that
for any
for that cover.
Oh, Rogue Trader.
So was the Call of Cthulhu Rough Magics that yeah. or that that yeah. was that was an awesome cover. That was my background for my desktop.
Death Watch is the Space Marine one, and right. and if. Thing is, though, I mean, Andre's big into obviously 40K, and he ran it with Savage Worlds.
He's big into Warhammer.
And they're putting out only War, which is the Imperial Guard,
which
one.
Was who I played. Oh.
And if I lose these dice, I can't even order more on the Fantasy Flight.
Yes, you will be able to.
You will be
yes,
able
yes, you
to,
can. Yeah. And they'll probably be the same amount as like the Star Wars miniature game dice, which are $12.50 for a pack.
The unique thing, and don't get us wrong, I mean, I do love Fantasy Flight. They do good stuff. Too. But their role-playing line is very annoying because it takes this mentality that's sort of like what they have with Warhammer, with Games Workshop with Warhammer, because they have your army books. They're doing that with the 40K RPG, you know, with Black Crusade, Dark Heresy, Death Watch, and War.
I still want to see an orcs role playing game. This is the one thing nobody will give me is I want to role play as an orc. I want to start as like a little grot or something and grow into a big fucking war boss. I think that would be fun as hell.
And that was a bad word there.
Smurfing.
Sorry.
God,
you have to smurf it.
Ow. We don't have Smurfs in New Jersey. I'm sorry.
You have to work on those whole smurfing thing.
I will smurf.
You don't have Smurfs at all?
No.
But, yeah, no I mean, it's
that's
interesting.
A sad
and
smurfing
that's,
location.
Just that's one thing that they do. And it's kind of annoying because, you know, it's like, I love the idea of playing a Space Marine. I dig Space Marines. Space Marines are badass and awesome in my opinion. But not everyone is going to want to play a Space Marine.
I don't want to play a Space Marine. I don't want to play an overpowered, genetically engineered Hulk of a human who probably doesn't have enough brains to fill a teapot.
Actually, that's not true. They're actually supposed to be very smart.
I like the ones.
I like playing someone who is like vastly, you know, against the tides of destruction.
Actually, there used to be a podcast on I think Warhammer Radio was what it was called.
Yeah.
And they talked about 40K now and again. They had they said the funniest thing about the 40K RPG and playing Space Marines, and it's like, okay, here's what Games Workshop thinks is goes on board a ship of Space Marines. What really goes on is everybody dance now. And I'm like, yes, that would be entirely what would go on. Is there would be horrible debauchery and craziness.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
and at least in my universe.
Well, yeah, I was going to say
they're a little messed up.
It's like, well,
they're not even.
They need to unwind a bit.
No, they're
technically not even human anymore.
We're gonna die. Well, so
I like the ones that are prisoners in StarCraft,
mm-hmm.
where they're basically like the normal Space Marines
mm-hmm.
are either one. The people that nobody wants, or they're prisoners, mm-hmm. and they're basically you can go to prison for the rest of your life,
or you can go
become a Marine, and you can be a Marine out in the middle of nowhere. So when the ship leaves, they're like, eh, whatever, we don't care.
They're just leaving behind.
They're just leaving behind because they're
you saw that very succinctly at the beginning mm-hmm. of, at the intro for Brood War. They just leave the entire squadron that's fighting the Zerg on the planet surface. It's just like, yeah, you jerks. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, things. I mean, as far as wish list for Christmas type of thing, I mean, I would love to see. I don't think they've ever done they have done a Warcraft RPG. It was a D20 game. I think Alderac Entertainment Group or somebody.
Yes.
It out.
Well, there was Warcraft and there was
never
also
did
the World
they
of Warcraft.
Never did a StarCraft RPG.
No, but there was.
There was talk of of Galaxy of StarCraft, mm-hmm. quote unquote, being the StarCraft MMO. But
no, I'm talking pen and paper. No, RPG.
I know what you're talking about, but they have not done a StarCraft role playing game.
No. And
they did
more. And I was like, I want to see a RoboCop. That's called Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk. Never mind.
Considering how well
Cyberpunk does well for it,
yes, it does. Considering how well StarCraft and StarCraft II is sold,
Savage Worlds works for anything though.
Yeah, but sure. considering how well StarCraft I and StarCraft II sold and continue to sell, I think this should be indicative that they should possibly, you know, release products in a different market and not force us to like. Constantly be logged in when we want to play, so that even on single player.
Please, can we not get into that? I really just don't want to get into that.
I can't help it.
I know you don't want. I know you can't help it. But seriously,
I mean, how can you screw up the perfect formula that was Diablo 2? Oh, that's right. It's done by a completely different team. The team that made most of Diablo 2 is Torchlight 2.
All right. Here we go.
If you didn't know that. Including the musician, which is why the music is... Oh, I love the music in Diablo 2. The music in Diablo 3 is forgettable.
But back to gaming. Like, real gaming.
Back to real gaming.
Diablo is real gaming.
It's sure, game. Right, whatever.
I'm going to force you to sit down and play Descent Under Undermountain. I'll make your brain melt.
Maybe.
No, trust me.
Chew through my own arm or something. Speaking of landmark things finally hitting, we finally got Hell on Earth finally came out.
That's right.
Hell on Earth
did finally come out, along with the miniatures that they kickstarted.
Mm-hmm.
Which look awesome.
But that finally hit. I know they've been working on that.
Your brother needs to run at least a one-shot of that at some point.
Yeah, I need to play in it at some point.
That's what I'm saying. He's the one with all the books.
Mm-hmm. But Hell on Earth finally came out. And it's they've been working on this for bloody ever, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's been in layout. It's been... I mean, promised for years.
What's funny is it took them less time to do Deadlands Noir.
Yes.
An entirely new setting. It took them less time than to convert this.
Well, you know. Well, of course, Hell on Earth being the continuation of Deadlands.
PDF and pre-orders for Deadlands Noir come out, either come out on Tuesday or that was this Tuesday. I think it comes out this coming Tuesday.
Sweet.
So, PDF available Tuesday.
Bonus.
Pinnacle's been doing fairly well this year. I will say that they've got some nice... The deluxe edition was this year. I think that was this year. Yeah, it was this year.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. They put out... if you have Hero Lab, you can now do Savage World of Solomon Kane, Deadlands Reloaded, and Rippers. They now have free files for all three of those settings under the Savage Worlds column. What else we got?
Yeah, Deadlands Noir came out, at least for Kickstarters, I suppose.
Well, again, the PDF comes out on Tuesday, and then the full mm-hmm. book is March.
It's very cool.
Yeah, you can start pre-order. You can pre-order mm-hmm. the book starting on Tuesday.
Nice.
So
yeah, Peg Inc. or Pinnacle Entertainment really got some good stuff out this year.
They're working on some other.
I think the Deadlands line, or the Savage Worlds line, or was it Deadlands line of Reaper minis came out too.
Deadlands has been they've been doing a little bit of both, honestly. They've had mm-hmm. general Savage Worlds, and then they've also had a lot of Deadlands specific mm-hmm. Of mm-hmm. Reaper minis.
Yeah.
Reaper, let's talk about miniatures for a second. Reaper did their whole Bones Kickstarter and Bones line this year.
Mm-hmm.
Which looks cool as well. My brother kickstarted that.
Did he? There's, mm-hmm. Even if you didn't kickstart it, there is a lot of minis in that line, and they are, and you know, contrary to you know, Games Workshop, they are not expensive. The Bones line is like a couple bucks a mini, if that.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. they're also plastic minis as well.
Right. Well, that's my point, is that they're high quality plastic minis. The level of detail on these miniatures is insane. I'm so
I've seen them. They're very
I'm
very
so
good.
Blown away very, with very the well level done. of Like, here, this is the new... if you go to ReaperMini.com, you can see the Reaper site. And they have the images of the, basically, Draco Lich that they're putting out. Did you see this, Nathan?
The Draco Lich?
The Draco Lich. That's plastic.
It's very good.
at the even on the Reaper Mini main site, you can see it. They're putting out this incredibly good Draco Lich. They're putting. Oh, let's see. They still haven't done any new release. Oh, wait. Okay, 12 Days of Reaper started on Friday 12/7, which I didn't know about.
What's that?
Promotions. If you do for 12/7 to through 12/18, if you do $35 or more on their website, which I didn't know about, you get a free miniature.
You can get a Santa Dwarf.
You can get a Santa Dwarf. They do have a Santa Dwarf this year. I wonder what the Christmas Sophie is this year.
Jeremy, Santa Dwarf.
Secret Santa's anyone? Or Silver Santa's anyone?
I don't know. I don't know about Silver Santa this year.
I don't know. I know, but I just meant for next year. Mm-hmm. What is it? Today's the 14th, so if you can get this out in the next couple days, you can get a 2009 ReaperCon Sophie for free. On the 16th, you can get a 2007 ReaperCon Sci-Fi Sophie for free. You can get Echidnox, the Hedgehog Hero, on December 17th, and then December 18th, you get the 2004 ReaperCon Sophie. If you pay $35 or more through the website. Which, oh, by the way, we need to go to. We bought something for a very good friend of ours who I don't want to say their name because
right.
Because they might listen to the podcast. I don't know if they listen to the podcast.
Yes, they have no idea.
Okay, so, but yes, miniatures for people. Good, huzzah.
It was a good deal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Santa Dwarf is only available during the 12 Days of Reaper promotion.
Nice.
Till next year. He's $10. That's pretty cool.
And, of course, they now have their Cowboys and Gunslinger set.
Yes, they do, which is like... Unfortunately, I already own half of those.
Yeah, me too, but sorry, little bastards. Damn time.
I will say that that's something that they started either last year or this year, mm-hmm. is these figurine sets.
Yeah.
And...
Which is nice. The Cowboys and Gunslinger set is $40 and you get... Mm-hmm. 10 figures.
Well, most of them are 10 figure sets. They have the Mouseling Tavern set. They've got the Mouseling Hero set. They've got the Cowboys and Gunslingers. They've got a Jack and the Beanstalk set, which I didn't know about. It's only
Dungeon Horrors,
Tree Man, Village Townsfolk,
Legends of the Sands Arabian Adventures box set.
Ooh, that's neat. Some of these are new. I haven't seen some of these.
They come in a little plastic case and everything.
They come in a carrying case. Dungeon Adventurers. Oh, they're out of stock on those, but you might be able to get them in your local gaming store.
That is true.
Savage Beauty. What is Savage Beauty? I need to look at this one. Oh, it is Amazonians.
Crazy Amazonians.
Crazy Amazonians. It's all females.
There's Diabolus the Devil Dragon.
Heraldric Knights.
I like the Hydra.
There's a Triceratops for $50. You want a Triceratops? Everybody loves dinosaurs. Pirates of the Dragonspine Sea. There's a pirate set.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently this is how they're selling all their dragons now, is in these plastic boxes. Including,
which is nice.
One of my favorite miniatures, honestly, has always been their blue dragon, Gowth.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really cool looking character.
But Reaper Minis, good place.
Oh, Reaper Minis.
Reaper Minis are awesome because you can always find exactly what you want.
Their Chronoscope line, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Mm-hmm. Their Chronoscope line is a godsend because they just have everything. Everything.
Randomness in there, superheroes. Oh. Although superhero minis are really hard to do because, you know, it's so
character specific.
It's so character specific.
Pulp City? Is that the name of the mm-hmm. there's the skirmish game? They've got some good superhero.
I just found this when I was looking at something else that that Ethan pointed me to. But did you guys see that they're actually going to. There's a place being built in New Zealand called the Green Dragon Pub, as in the pub from The Hobbit.
No, I did not.
Yeah,
that's...
real life Hobbit Green Dragon Pub opens in New Zealand.
Do you know why they had to rebuild the Bilbo Baggins house for the new Hobbit?
Because it burnt to the ground.
No, that's not why. Peter Jackson bought the set, and it's his guest house.
That is awesome.
He made that his guest house for the Hobbit. He made Bilbo Baggins' house his guest house.
Very nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I forget who told me that.
Very nice. I get that a lot sometimes.
All we just heard was ew.
And we're all like,
What? Oh, hi.
But no, I just thought that was really cool that they recreated it and they just opened it. It's near Matamata.
Cool.
And it looks gorgeous. If you take a look at the pictures, look at this. This is over the top of the bar.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's the green dragon.
It's the real.
Yeah.
Basically, almost like the set.
Yeah, and I think what they did was they actually took stills and stuff from the set and redid it.
Didn't they film in New Zealand?
Yes,
so that may actually just be the fully built set, and they decided to just make more money off of it.
Well, no, yeah. This is it says at the top of the article it's a recreation.
Oh, okay, but yeah, no, I mean there's some really cool stuff out there.
Admittedly, they did a great job faithfully recreating the building. I just want to know how much it costs to drink there because I'm not paying $10 a beer so I can pretend I'm a hobbit. Just saying,
in pints. I want one.
It comes in pints.
I want one.
Where are you going? I want one. I want one too. I want a paint too. I'm just saying, I could pretend I'm a hobbit at home with a six pack of Sierra Nevada bottles.
Wow.
But it looks gorgeous. So yeah, now I have a place I want to go see if I ever make it to New Zealand.
Cool.
Because I'd like to go see the Green Dragon pub because it looks gorgeous. And the layout is beautiful. They have a picture that's like taken from probably a crane, like a shot crane or something. And it's like nestled up against a hill. It's just beautiful.
Cool.
So yeah.
Very nice. There's a lot of cool stuff out there.
Yeah. What else we got, guys? I mean, let's try this. If there was one product cost not prohibitive that you could have for Christmas, what would your gaming item of the year, or not even just of the year, the one gaming item you would love to have?
See, nothing really
role-playing gaming or just gaming in general?
Tabletop gaming in general.
Tabletop gaming in general.
If there's one thing you could have.
See, I've sort of spread out into board games and sort of card games at this point.
It doesn't have to be something expensive.
And as has been pointed out, I'm a hard person to buy for because I just generally go buy what I want. And, you know, it's one of those. I'm sort of at that point where I don't buy something unless I really want to run it. And plus, you know, PDFs are getting much more accessible
well,
to
with,
me.
It, well, with your iPad, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I'm about three or four books, like physical books, behind on Mutants and Masterminds releases. Unfortunately, three books, technically four, because I can't find my GM's the Game Master's guide that I bought.
Oh, it's gotta be somewhere in your house.
It's somewhere in my house, I hope. God only knows where. But
you see that, or you left it at Aaron's?
Not as far as I know. But anyway.
Anyway.
And also, you know, I've been poor for so bloody long. I haven't gone to the game store very much. And there are a couple board games out there I'd like to get. A couple RPGs right now. Like I know there's some ones that are very intriguing, but again, it goes into that: do I want to buy it and just put it on my shelf, or am I actually going to run the thing? Cubicle 7 is going to be putting out a Buckaroo Banzai RPG.
Are they really?
Yeah, they've got the license. They're putting out a Buckaroo Banzai RPG.
Now that is awesome.
That sounds like a CantCon material for me. But
and I love the Buckaroo Banzai. I love the movie and it was a lot of fun. And obviously they got some Doctor Who stuff, but you know, they're putting out a few interesting things. But they have announced the
can't be on the table, buddy.
they have announced that Buckaroo Banzai, at least I saw an advo for it, but they also got like Primeval based on that TV series.
That BBC, uh-huh. the BBC show, which for the most part was really good, the mm-hmm. TV show was, but it got weird.
Yeah. Sorry, Mishka. So, you know, I'm interested to see what else they've got coming out. But,
so, my question still stands. If there was one, I mean...
one product.
If there was, like, just one item that you, like, could add, even just to add it to your collection. Like, I know what mine is, but that's...
Realistically, just practically speaking, I'd like to have an actual copy of the Pathfinder core book, because I don't.
Okay.
I've sort of come to a lot of decisions lately and thinking that I want to look more into Pathfinder stuff if I want to run D&D ever again.
Yeah,
Pathfinder is
definitely the way that
I just like the customizability. Sure, whatever.
And
I invent
and
words.
Still wait to see what happens.
And right. still wait to see what happens. With,
that's fine.
You know,
but
the next edition, but you know, honestly,
I'm getting too old to keep going with the new editions. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're all old fogies. It doesn't enter into it. I mean, if fifth edition comes out and it's absolutely, you know, balls to the wall awesome, I'll pick it up.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But it needs to be. But at this point, it almost needs
to
be balls.
I mean, I honestly, they'll look at things and go, well, I run a certain amount of things, and I have no interest in running a D&D game because everybody is running D&D.
Everybody
you know?
Runs
and
fantasy.
It's like,
fantasy is
yeah,
fantasy,
I play I play in enough D&D, and I get that itch, and I'm like,
everybody's
I don't have an
running
interest
it,
in doing it, you know?
But I can't find a D&D game because I'm running it.
Sure, but
I'm
not in
know,
that situation.
I'll work on something for you. I'll figure something out.
Now
that I'm not here, I don't mind running stuff as much because I do still get to play in like three or four games.
Yeah,
I'm very much enjoying Mutants and Masterminds. I love the system. I love the game, and
the new
I'm having
rules.
A lot of fun.
I haven't had a chance to play into the new rules, but the new rules are supposed to be fantastic.
I haven't played since.
I haven't had time.
Good. Yeah, it's if I had to, if I mean practically speaking, I'd want a Pathfinder core book, but.
But out there, I'm talking like you could get a. TARDIS game table, which we're working on. But
well, yeah, I am like four books away from having a full collection of the Marvel Superheroes RPG from the original TSR series.
That's the kind of, I mean,
and I do want to have a full set of that at some point.
I'm
about,
one book away from
my
collection
stuff.
From Star Wars.
Yeah, I have every book
not
of Star Wars.
Dark Sun. You're like two books away from having the complete Dark Sun.
No,
collection.
No, I don't have the Dark Sun stuff, unfortunately.
Did you?
I had to get rid of that to you know get out of my apartment.
No.
In 2008.
I'm one book away from my Star Wars Saga Edition collection being complete. Miniatures wise, I still have I'm not even close, and I never will be close because they're so expensive. But all I need is the final book they put out, the Unknown Regions, and I will have the full set of Star Wars.
And that one's not that bad.
No, it's really not.
The Star Wars Unknown Regions. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like $50.
$50.
Yeah, compared to the prices of some of those other
books.
The
craziest ones I've seen are the
The most expensive book in the list is the Knights of the
Republic,
because
it generally is like
$120.
Yeah, I've seen $120 up to $180. It's like
the ones we found locally were like $70 or $80 online.
Well,
and we found them at list price and we're just like, yo,
what happened is
Phil got it. Phil had like two or three copies. He got two or three copies and he put them out for regular price.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked him about that, and he's like, I'm not going to gouge you guys.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Well, it was...
I didn't pay $100 for it, so I'm not going to charge you.
The last three out of four books that I needed, I found at 31st Century, and they were all, actually, I think, under cover price.
Yeah, they ended up being 25% off because he wanted to get rid of them. He's like, tell you what, if you buy all three of them, he says, I'll give you a discount of 25%.
So
off.
I was more than happy.
No, it was just like,
yoink.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and was like, wow, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. How about you, Jeremy? You got
a gaming room.
Okay, I'll accept that. that's a good answer.
Anything.
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 Well, I mean, do you have something that you would want to put? Is there a certain collection you would want something towards, or just like?
Well, considering I have almost a complete collection of Amigas. I have one of every model.
So that's the only one I'm missing is a 4,000 tower, and I don't plan on getting that anytime soon because those are ridiculously stupid. No, if I could have anything, I would have that basement room finished and the back porch fixed. That would be what I want.
Well, that goes under your... I know for you that goes under your gaming room because...
Yeah. The back porch is my gaming room. It's where all the Warhammer stuff happens.
And it sank.
Well, it's been sinking. It was sinking when we bought the house. We just didn't realize it. I just need to get under there. I need to jack it up. I've got to reinforce all the pylons for the porch. And then I need to insulate and seal the floor. And then once I do that, I need to insulfill the walls. But before I do that, I want to rip off that horrible plywood that they've got out there on the outside and replace it with actual outside wall material. Because it's plywood.
No, because that would be... That would be good because that would give us a place to really do Warhammer because it's definitely a Warhammer room.
And that room, when the temperature's nice outside, that room is really comfortable to sit back there and flip on a light and read because the couch back there, as nice as our couch is out here, that couch, it's like a 40-year-old couch. The thing looks like it's been through hell and back again because it has, but man, oh man, that thing is nice to sit on.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So what else we got?
As everybody who plays Warhammer knows, when their game's over, they sit down on the couch and are like, hey, this is pretty comfy. Mm. Yeah, just this beat-up, horrible, nasty-looking couch, but it's great.
Cool.
Yeah. Now, there are... I would like to run Marvel Superheroes RPG, just a one-shot at some point.
You run it, I'll play it. You know that.
The old school system. As far as new stuff, nothing came out this year that absolutely blew me away as far as I must buy.
As far
as games go. I mean, nothing hit me this year, but I also wasn't paying a lot of attention.
Shame on you, sir. You're on a gaming podcast. You at least need to pay attention.
No, I don't. I've discovered that we're almost to three triple digits on this show, and I don't have to pay attention.
Oh wait, that's right. You passed that off on me, didn't you?
Yes.
The whole paying attention stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Damn.
I have a question for you. What's your take on the Mutants and Masterminds power profiles?
They are handy. I found the threat reports a lot more useful.
Especially now that they collected it into a book.
Right, now that they collected it into a book. Although, speaking as a consumer who got all of the PDF ones, when they put it into an actual book, they added about five or six more.
Which, annoying. Of course they did, because that makes you want to buy the book.
Exactly. They sent me a review copy of it, which was a review PDF of it, so I didn't buy the damn thing, but... I don't think I would have bought it otherwise, because I'm like, I'm not paying $50 for six characters. The power profiles are okay. There are a few like general omissions that they didn't put in because I think they sort of went off their forums as far as people who, you know, it's like, oh, hey, what system do you want, that sort of thing. And I forget which one I was looking at. It was either death-based powers or something along those lines that they really don't have any good source material for.
It just amazes me that they're up to 39 of these suckers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Well, they got up to 50 on the threat reports.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the they aren't putting any more of the power profiles out, which really makes me think they're probably going to collect the power profiles into a book.
Which would be Ultimate Power?
Maybe, yeah. Hey, go. But I haven't spent. I've gotten a couple of the power profiles for as review, and, mm-hmm. and none of them have been enough for me to actually say, "Hey, this is awesome," or "These suck." I'm glad I haven't spent any money on them. If they put out a book, I would check it out. But I'm also at that point where I no longer need every book that comes out for a system anymore.
No, and I understand that. I was just curious to get your take on it because. I'd seen them, and I'm like, well, isn't this the kind of
stuff
that...
They're sometimes easy for... good for a springboard, as far as, like, well, I'm making this character with some of these powers, or, like, in the case of, like, Robin or something, if she gets the speedster one for mm-hmm. a buck, she can look at it, maybe get some ideas of stuff she could do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall as a GM, you know, sometimes you get a little, it depends on who, it depends on the type of GM you are and how well versed you are in the system. Honestly, if I did not have Hero Lab, I think they would be more useful.
Yeah.
But since I've got Hero Lab with the Mutants and Masterminds 3rd edition data set, there's really nothing, because I can go on there and just play around, you know, and it's way easy. So.
Yeah, and they're kind of scattered about. That's my only, as I get older too, with a lot of the PDF stuff also even.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the Pathfinder stuff, I was looking at it, and with the Hero Lab, the Pathfinder stuff is so freaking expensive.
Yeah.
It's you're adding basically another $10 to the cost of any book.
And I just was looking at it, I'm like, well, I've got the 3.5 stuff, and with Hero Lab, adding all that stuff on, it's just so pricey. But Hero Lab's so helpful. So my hope is that
they tend to bundle everything after a little after they
release. Yeah, my hope is they bundle it. I'm hoping they do the same with 5th edition.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they do a better job than they did with 4th edition when it comes to Hero Lab.
Mm-hmm.
So because there's just too much PDF stuff out there. So I've been focusing, like right now, focusing on the Osric 1st edition, 2nd edition-esque stuff.
Sure.
Because there's just too much. Way too much.
Sure. And speaking of Hero Lab, you know, Hero Lab's been pushing out things here and there. And they did, they haven't done a new game set for it, module for their, yeah, for the thing. It's still a great system. But my sort of complaint to them is the crazy amount of Pathfinder modules they have now. The data packages for that are insane.
A lot of it's based on the adventure paths, which I don't blame them for.
Well, not even that, but there's the Bestiary 1, 2, 3, and yeah, 4 now, I think.
Something 4 is not out yet.
3. And, yeah, you can buy all the data. You can get them all for $30 or something, mm-hmm, like that, which is like a $5
but it's still discount, but it's still the price of like, almost the price of one of the books.
Yeah. I know. And as a... you know, with my character with Hercule, I mean, that would be handy to have that stuff in there, because I could be like, okay, I'm just going to summon I just can't justify spending $30 on that.
Yeah. Speaking of,
I mean, I already spent the extra dough to get Ultimate Magic for it. But
speaking of useful Pathfinder books for GMs, mm-hmm, Andre showed me. Andre's up on a lot of his books. They just put out the NPC Codex.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm, my God. It's a book. Honestly, for lazy GMs like me, mm-hmm, it's a godsend. Andre's comment to me was, "I will never need to make a human NPC, a humanoid NPC again, because they just have it's big enough and they have enough variety in there, mm-hmm, that there's everything."
That's always been my concern with those codexes like that is there's not enough variety. And I've gotten a thing here and there for those. I mean, but. I never really get much
the NPC use Codex out of those. Has 300 characters in it. It's pretty hefty. It's 320 pages, and what it is they're not all necessarily named, but they have, mm-hmm, like lists of names. Like, here are possible lists of names, yeah, for this elven.
I'm trying to remember the wizard book that I got. It was a 3.0 actual book, and all it is basically a book of list charts. It's gray, and it's huge. And I've been using the Smurf out of that book. It's a tome or something. Basically, all it is if you need cities, if you need NPCs, if you need... whatever you need, it just gives you chart after chart after chart. Well,
this isn't.
Oh, dude, toolkit.
The toolkit.
Yeah.
This isn't charts. As much as it's almost like pre-generated characters with, if you need to advance it to this level, just here's the stuff. And it's. I mean, they have everything for. I mean, they have animal companion statistics for levels for druids and rangers from level 1 through 20.
Mm-hmm.
They've got pre-generated, like, characters, multiple versions of every iconic, what they call their iconic characters, for like a whole bunch of different levels for if you want to do pre-generated characters. So there's a lot. Honestly, like I'll get the book from Andre and I'll do an in-depth review of it on for like the next episode.
Well, I wish I could find this because this was just it's gray, and it's so useful. I don't know if it's called the toolkit, but basically, I think it is. But it had so many different uses in it. No, it's not that. But basically, I've been using.
It's not the Savage World Pulp Jam toolkit.
No, it was for 3.0. Okay. But I've been using it for second edition.
Gotcha.
Osric. You can use it for anything, really, because it doesn't have a lot of stats in it. Okay. It's just
ideas.
Yeah, I mean.
Well,
that's
the difference.
It's mostly
what I'm talking about
ideas because I don't usually need stats.
This is kind of one of those things where if, you know, oh, we decide to take out the guards instead.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. Flip. I've got guard stats.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what it is, honestly, because the one thing you have to remember that Pathfinder didn't really do with their bestiaries, they didn't really put humanoids in their bestiaries, which the monster manuals in like third edition at 3.5 had.
Yeah.
Had, you know, elven rangers and it had dwarven but so they really didn't do that, but that's what this book is almost like a collection of.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff I just do in my brain, so mm-hmm. But I can understand that. It sounds like a good book, though.
Yeah, it's definitely.
I mean,
it is
nice to have that, especially for. But some stuff, I'm just like.
Right. Yeah. Well, we've been going on for quite a while.
We have been going on for quite a while.
If you're still with us, we're going to go ahead and take a bit of a break, and we're going to come back with some random encounters and then call it a night.
Litko. I like Litko.
Oh, we're not going to do...
For entire generations of people now, gaming is as much a part of the fabric of their reality as television, films, books, music, and any other form of entertainment medium. Continue is a magazine for the gaming community. The global gaming community. Not just video and computer games, but board games, card games, role-playing games, alternate reality games, and anything that falls into the category of humans engaging to have fun. A celebration of gaming.
Issue 3 now available, featuring the rise, fall, and rebirth of adventure gaming. A once mighty genre sits at the cusp of greatness once more, and the history toys. Why mixing real-world fact with in-game fiction provides a richer gaming experience for us all.
Continue Magazine at www.continuemag.com.
Random Encounters.
And we are back and wrapping things up in this random episode of End of the Year Craziness. Only random encounters I've got are two more markers on the minion map, putting our total minions up to 45. We have two more episodes left before we hit 100, and before we hit our 100th episode, see if we can get 50 on there. So you get another five still. But the first one on there is just near Albany, Oregon. Is Laurel, who is another Northwesterner. We seem to have a lot of Northwesterners. You're actually not too far from Doug, who's in Portland. But then we have a bunch in Seattle and Vancouver, so I mean, it's a fun little mix of people up in the Northwest. And all being said, thank you, Laurel, for putting your pin on the map. I want to say hi. And then we have someone in Southwestern Minnesota, not too far from
Minnesota,
is Casey M, and he says, "Yes, I am close enough to get to CanCon." Well, then we expect
then you
to
better
see you there.
Make it.
Yes, you must come.
He's not very far off actually. He's just up.
It's about
Iowa.
It's about 8 hours.
He has another like an 8 hour drive.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah,
that's easy. We're gonna be in a hotel this year, so you can get a hotel room.
Yes.
With ridiculous room, it looks like, from what you said.
Oh yeah, they're giving us a whole bunch of,
is fine. I mean, that's awesome. It's just,
surprising. Hey Casey, thanks for putting your pin on the map, and
we need to get another five on there, so get all like your friends out to hit our minion map and put pins on it.
Yes,
so,
and come to CanCon.
Yeah, and come to CanCon.
And so,
please.
So what is this costume game that I asked
costume
about at
quest.
The beginning?
Oh, Costume Quest. It's an RPG developed, and it's basically kids who are trick-or-treating on Halloween get attacked by aliens, and their whatever costume they're actively wearing becomes their like giant battle form whenever they go into battle. It's a lot of fun.
Costume Quest is a adventure role-playing game developed by Double Fine Productions and published by THQ. In the game, the players control a child that is trick-or-treating with their twin on Halloween night when they encounter a monster that kidnaps the sibling. The player must travel around the local neighborhood collecting items for their costume, candy, and fellow children as companions in order to face the monster and rescue the sibling. The costume aspects are used in the battle segments where the player character and companions are transformed into the monsters and creatures they are dressed as to fight other monsters.
It's fun.
The plot is the game takes place on Halloween. Fraternal twin siblings Reynold and Wren are new in their neighborhood and are asked by their mom to use their trick-or-treating to make new friends in the neighborhood. The player at this point chooses a sibling to play as, and the two dress in their costumes, with the non-playable character dressing as a piece of candy corn and the playable character dressing as a robot. A monster with a sweet tooth sees the non-playable character sibling and kidnaps him or her. The player character must now save their sibling in time and be home before curfew.
It's a very tongue-in-cheek game.
It's very cute.
And it's awesome.
It incorporates elements of exploration of adventure games and character growth of role-playing video games. So basically, it's an adventure RPG. The candy is used as currency, of course. Mm-hmm. It's kids, and the costumes alter your abilities.
Yes, and you can. I mean, I've played it. And it's you start off with like a robot and a knight, and you get things like the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
You get
like the
vampire
man,
the wolf man.
Yeah,
and you change costumes to do different things, and out of battle, different costumes have different abilities.
Looks like there's a unicorn. I never saw that one though.
I believe that's the expansion, but it's ridiculous. It is utterly ridiculous and utterly fun. So
yeah, it's amusing.
Oh, okay. That was my random encounter.
All right.
Cool.
Well, if that's it, unless you guys have any random Kickstarters to talk about. Nope. I haven't had
not
any
tonight.
Time to look, so.
There's not much has been posted recently.
No,
so.
All I can say the last thing I can think of to say is if you are an aficionado of good old games, you got to hit GOG.com for
yep.
your
mm-hmm.
sales. Got to.
I will say that.
You will thank yourself for doing so.
You should just go there and buy Syndicate, because Syndicate was awesome.
That is true.
Yeah. When Syndicate released, people that had been there for a certain period of time got it for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it for free, because I've been a member for so long.
I downloaded Treasure Adventure.
You bought it?
No,
it's
free.
Okay.
Treasure Adventure is
Syndicate
free?
Is $3.
Yeah. It's
for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So go buy
it's
it
It's worth
for
every penny. I bought that game when it came out. When
don't
it was
get Syndicate
$80.
Wars. It's awful. And then there's a new Syndicate that's
first
don't bother.
Person shooter that why would you ruin that?
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Why?
I don't know. I got nothing.
Stupid. Oh, God. Ugh.
Master of Orion 1 and 2 for $3. Duke Nukem 3D Atomic Edition.
Yeah.
Which
was free on the first day of the sale.
First 2 days of the sale. Through noon today on the 14th,
was
it was
it?
Free. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, when I got the mailer, I was like, ooh, free, click.
Of course, they've got some fun stuff on there if you go in and look. I mean, it's all stuff. It's good old games, you know what I mean? Master of Magic, remember that game?
Oh, God, yes.
I remember how buggy as hell that game was,
oh,
too.
But this one is the patch version, which is 1.3.0.
The patch version that doesn't lock up when you attack a certain, when you actually fight a certain unit.
Yeah, when the Lizardmen attack.
I don't remember which unit it was, but it's like, oh, hey, I'll fight this. Crashed.
When the Lizardmen attack.
I guess we don't fight those.
When the Lizardmen attacks the knights, that are the Merlin mages, mm-hmm. that would cause the game to crash.
Crash.
No, there's all sorts of stuff on sale. I mean,
mm-hmm.
oh, God.
It's good stuff.
Tons upon tons of stuff.
They have Alone in the Dark 1, 2, and 3 for $3. Mm-hmm. That's
yep.
well worth it.
I got that last Christmas.
Those are great games.
Wing Commander 1 through 4.
No, no.
The Gabriel Knight series, the
Jeremy
Mist
pointed
series.
Out Populous, Evil Genius is $5. Evil Genius,
is worth it. It gets kind of repetitive, but
it does. But
bucks.
It is was worth $5.
Just moving to a larger island on the
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you know the trick with that game, right?
Stay on level one.
Stay on level one. The tutorial level. Just stay there until you're ridiculously mm-hmm. wealthy.
In which game?
In Evil Genius.
Oh, okay.
Because you can't increase your infamy rating over a certain level.
Well, no, and you just keep making money, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no more no more spies come to get you until you go to your big
so
island.
There
so just stay there and
millions.
Just let it run overnight while you collect money.
Yeah. Yeah.
They also have the Quest for Glory series for $5, mm-hmm. bucks, which is awesome.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's $4.99.
Thief is on here. That was
the original two
the
Thief
first
games.
First one.
The second one, too, was good.
Yeah. I only
Deadly
played
Shadows.
The first one, but.
Three was awesome on the Xbox.
The second one was Metal Age.
No.
And I gotta say,
Thief 1, Deadly
Star
Shadows,
Control
Thief
1 and 2
Age,
for
yeah.
$3. Dude,
Thief
Star Control 1 and 2.
Xbox.
Star Control 1 and 2.
Yes.
The first
awesome
one was Dark
games.
Project. Dark Project.
Thief
they probably have Star
Shadows.
Control 3 on here, but you could shoot yourself in the
Thief,
face rather
yeah.
than play
Thief
that.
Was good until they introduced the supernatural. Then I didn't really like it as much.
What, like the zombies?
Yeah.
That was the best part, because like, you couldn't hide from them. You couldn't sneak past them. You just had to avoid
them.
I
wanted Thief to remain like... Really, Assassin's Creed.
Did you ever make it to the end of the first Thief?
No, because I was like, "There's zombies. I don't care anymore."
Oh, dude, you missed an awesome story.
Mm-hmm. I really stopped caring at that point.
Magic Carpet, the whole Tex Murphy series.
Lords of Magic is on there.
Yeah, Age of Empire or Age of Wonders.
Age of Wonders, great.
Or
great
as we
game.
Used to call it, Age of Blunders.
Journeyman Project 2, Buried in Time.
It may be Age of Blunders, but it's a fun game. And actually, I like the number 2 better. Mm-hmm. The expansion
yeah.
is better.
Shadow Magic, yeah.
Yeah, Shadow Magic is way better. But
actually, interestingly enough, this is one that's kind of obscure for a lot of people, but Little Big Adventure, also known as Relentless. They have Twin Sins Adventure and Twin Sins Odyssey, which are great games. Stonekeep, yeah. And another surprising sleeper that I never had a chance to play when I was younger. I didn't play it till I got it. The Last Express, which was Jordan Mechner's real-time adventure game, takes place all on a train. It's really well done.
Oh. It's
also
like,
really
it's
depressing.
Almost like, it's kind of like Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah. That was what he based it on. That was his idea. He's like, I want to make an adventure game, a role-playing game, or an adventure point-and-click adventure game that's like Murder on the Orient Express. But it's gorgeous. It's all like hand-drawn, cel-shaded, or hand-drawn, like over the top of real people type
mm-hmm.
animation.
That's cool.
It's gorgeous. It looks beautiful. We've got, of course, let's see what else here. We've got Commandos, for those of you who are hardcore gamers. I've never got anywhere
never
in that
never get into Commandos.
I love the games, but I sucked at them so bad. Deus Ex, I mean, come on. The original Deus Ex? Hells yeah. Torchlight is $3.74. You're not going
to
get it cheaper
anywhere. You
need
to get Torchlight. Torchlight's a good game.
Let's see, what else do we have here? We have Simon the Sorcerer, which is an awesome series.
I think what we're really saying is, go look and you'll find something worth buying.
Trust me when I say that you will not walk away from here without something.
You probably have $5 you can spend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Generally.
With a lot of these games, you buy two different games. Lords of Magic. That game was.
I liked Lords of Magic.
I had that setting on the shelf.
It's
sealed.
Enjoyable. It didn't matter who you played. You really weren't supposed to play Death. But.
you weren't.
You weren't. If you played Death, you were like, well, I'm going to win.
Yeah. You just stomped everybody.
But. It was a fun game. It was really fun.
They even have Chronicles of Riddick. That's badass.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played that.
It's good.
It's actually good, yeah.
Is that the Escape from Butcher Bay, or is that the
Assault on Dark Athena? Isn't it?
It's the
remade.
It's the remake one.
They're
both good. I remember playing
Butcher Bay,
and it was really cool.
Everyone was watching me going, what are you doing? I'm playing Escape from Butcher Bay, and they're like, what's that? Chronicles of Riddick. They're like, are you playing as Riddick? And then he opens his mouth. Just stay right there. Everyone's like, oh! It's Vin Diesel. It's like, hell yeah, it's made by his game studio.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right, cool.
Anyway,
we'll
see you guys soon.
Yeah, we'll see you guys soon. As always, hit our website. Put your pin on the minion map, or I'll track you down and beat you to death with your own shoes.
Because you won't be on the minion map.
Then you won't be able to be on the menu map.
Yeah, I can't find you for damn. Why did you point that out?
Logic.
Go to
Simon, because you made me clean Mansquito's cage the other day. That's why.
And you're going to be doing that for the next 6 weeks.
It was worth it.
It's okay. At least you don't have to. At least you don't have to clean up the Neovenator's cage.
And his wife's cage,
cage
too.
We'll feed him the special Neovenator's cage.
Rate review us on iTunes. Comment on episodes. Hit our forums and with a hammer or something and start talking on there. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you for, I guess, episode 98.
Yes.
Later, guys.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven Podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States License, some rights reserved. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.